are, believe it or not, coming up on 18 years. 18 years. Think about it. Since 9/11. Our world changed that day. And for many of those who answered the call to help others, their lives were never the same. Welcome. Glad you're a part of the full story today on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak. You probably saw the news coverage out of Washington recently. There were some pretty angry people from our region on Capitol Hill. They were in D.C. and they were angry because they want legislators to provide the funding so the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund can keep going. We spoke about this on The Full Story a few months ago, and we wanted to give you an update. One of our guests on that program was retired New York detective Luis Alvarez. He was a first responder, and he spent weeks at the downtown Manhattan site helping others. I spoke with Lieutenant Alvarez the night before our program aired, and I asked him not to come on because, quite frankly, he was pretty ill. He wouldn't hear of it. And when he came on the show, this is what he had to say.
We're dealing with our illnesses, and we're dealing with them as best we can. And the last thing families need is the stress, the monetary stress of paying for their medical needs. That should just be a gimme. The government should just give the money. I'm blessed in the sense that I got paid out from the VCF before the money ran out. So that's one less stress that I have to worry about, that I know that if I go, my family is taken care of. But there are a lot of first responders and workers and people that live down there and kids that went to school who don't have a disability, don't have a pension, and they're paying for this out of their own pocket. And it's just not right, and it's not fair.
Detective Alvarez died last week. He was 53. We have a number of guests for you in this hour. We're going to start with Michael Barish. He's a lawyer. He represents a number of the 9/11 first responders. Michael, thanks for being with us today. It's a sad day. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Ron.
Michael, what's the problem in D.C.? Why is this such a problem down there?
Well, you're not going to believe this, but when I meet with the senators who have not yet agreed to co-sponsor the legislation, they often tell me, hasn't New York received enough already?
Do they actually
say
that?
I swear to God, you can't make this up. They think this is a New York problem and that the government has already given our people, the people here in New York, enough. And then I just have to educate them. And it helps to go around with Luis Alvarez and John Feel and certainly John Stewart and explain to them that there are 4,000 former responders now living in the state of Florida. There are people all over the country who responded to New York and Washington when we needed them. And what happened? Well, when they went back home, they brought the same things in their lung tissue that Detective Jimmy Zedroga had in his lung tissue. I don't know if you remember this, but Jimmy died of pulmonary fibrosis. He was a New York City police detective. Died of pulmonary fibrosis and an insidious lung ailment. And when they did his autopsy, they found ground glass in his lungs. They found asbestos, chromium, lead, benzene. These are all known carcinogens. So that evidence helped us convince NIOSH to link a host of respiratory illnesses and what's now 68 cancers. So it's no wonder that people all over the country who were in New York after 9/11 in Lower Manhattan, either as responders or office workers or students, they're all coming down with the same illnesses. So when I explain that, when the people I'm with explains this to the legislators, it often works. And I am so happy to report we now have over 70 members of Congress, I'm sorry, of the Senate, who have agreed to co-sponsor this legislation that would fully fund and extend the Victim Compensation Fund. What was the last issue you heard where 70 senators agreed to anything?
So all this publicity, if you will, finally got them to come around?
You know, isn't it sad that it takes a celebrity? This is an indictment on our political system, because if there ever was a bipartisan issue, it's this. This toxic dust didn't care if you were Republican or Democrat or black or white. It's attacking everybody. It's killing everybody. I mean, Ron, not a day goes by where one of my clients doesn't die. That's how heartbreaking this is. I mean, now, I do represent 15,000 people in the 9/11 community, but these cancers are like cancers like doctors have never seen before. I call it cancer on steroids. I mean, they're aggressive, they're rare, but it took Jon Stewart to bring the press out, and it took the press to shame the politicians who weren't agreeing to co-sponsor the legislation. So now even Mitch McConnell is promising that by August, he will put this on the floor for a vote. And I have no doubt, I mean, with all these co-sponsors, people shouldn't just pull their support. They should vote in favor of this extension, because I don't think people are going to stop getting cancer magically next December when this thing is supposed to close. And I'm sure you've heard about the cutbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's even worse than most people think, because it's not just awards for pending claims being cut 50% and future claims being cut 70%. All those responders who got disability pensions for their cancers, the entire disability pension is being counted as an offset. So last week I had 20 awards for responders, and 19 of them got $0.
You know, Michael, one of the things that I believe most of us forget is that a short time after 9/11 occurred is that the government basically gave the all clear, because they wanted Lower Manhattan to get back to normal as soon as possible. Because, look, it's Wall Street.
Oh, Ron, you sound so cynical. Do you really think our government would do anything like that?
Oh, cynical is my middle name at times as I get older.
Well, no, but look, let's face it. Christy Todd Whitman, who maybe your listeners know this, she was appointed as head of the EPA by President Bush. She was a very good governor of New Jersey, but she wasn't a scientist. She had no business being head of the EPA. And she comes out with a pronouncement 5 days after the attack assuring New Yorkers, quote, the air is safe. I have to tell you, that was such a disservice. Yes, they wanted to reopen Wall Street. They wanted to show our enemies that New Yorkers are resilient, that America isn't going to stop because we've been, you know, punched in the nose. But what did that do? Not only did it kind of give a false assurance to our first responders that you didn't really need heavy-duty masks to protect you from the particulate matter, but they reopened the schools surrounding Lower Manhattan. Stuyvesant High School, I'm sure you've heard of it. It's just two blocks north of the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of our finest public schools in New York City. For the first 3 weeks after the attacks, they were using the gymnasium as a makeshift morgue. They were dumping debris that was then taken by barges from the Hudson River right in back of the school. And that went on, by the way, for 8 months. And every time they dumped the debris, the smoke and the dust would fly everywhere. And these kids, 3,000 kids, were invited back to school. They never cleaned the gymnasium. They didn't clean the air conditioning ducts. The buildings are burning. The toxins are flowing. And these poor, innocent kids are told by their parents, oh, the EPA assured us it's safe. I know it smells bad, but it's safe. Go back to school. Borough of Manhattan Community College, 20,000 kids, not to mention the teachers, the staff, the custodial engineer, all those people. I mean, they're all my clients now because they are getting the same illnesses as the New York City firefighters and cops. And as I also mentioned earlier, every task force, every FEMA task force sent dozens, if not hundreds of representatives. They're now getting sick all over the country. This is a national health crisis, and all thanks to the EPA, which lied to us just because they wanted to reopen Wall Street.
Michael, how many clients do you have?
About 15,000 now.
15,000. Incredible. I just, as an aside, just because since we're having a nice conversation and I appreciate all the honesty, I just want you to know my background. I actually grew up in that area. And as a kid,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, as a kid, I would ride my bike down and I would actually, and I watched them build the towers. And so sitting here talking with you, listening to all this and the streets that I know well, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, well, look, so the government lied to us, but then they did the right thing. Let's give them credit. They passed the James Z. Roga Health and Compensation Act in 2011. They extended it in 2015 when NIOSH had enough statistical data to link 68 cancers to the World Trade Center toxins. So for the government not to extend it this time, for them not to fully fund it, would be such a breach of that promise which they made to the 9/11 community. And I just have hope that the government, that our government, will do the right thing and take care of these people, because God knows they deserve it. They've suffered enough.
Michael, hold on just one moment. I have to take a short break. I have a few more questions for you. Michael Barish is the lawyer representing the 9/11 first responders, as you heard. He has some 15,000 clients, those who are looking for the help that they deserve. You can email us. We're at tfs@wshu.org. It's the full story. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Full Story on WSHU. I'm Ron Ropiak. We are continuing our discussion about the effects that 9/11 had on first responders and those who worked or lived in the areas near where the attacks took place in downtown Manhattan. Michael Barish is with us for a few more minutes. He's a lawyer representing many of the 9/11 first responders. I just have another question or two from Michael, and then we're going to bring in another guest. Michael, are you still trying to get the word out? Are there still some responders or those who may have assisted during that period who haven't gotten tested or registered?
Ron, that is a great question, and the answer is yes, absolutely. That's why in the last 6 months I went to L.A. to speak at a firefighter cancer support network to let people, firefighters from all over the country, know that they should reach out to their retirees. They should reach out to the widows of the guys that were in New York who definitely wouldn't know. And why should they, frankly? Because if you, God forbid, were somebody, let's say you were a New York firefighter or you were a responder and you went back home, and or you live in Florida now, your husband passed away in 2009 from kidney cancer, brain cancer, any of these insidious cancers. The government didn't link these cancers to the toxins until 2013 and 2014. Why in the world would you ever know, hey, maybe I'm entitled to $250,000 from the Victim Compensation Fund? Why would you know that you're entitled to free health care if you're still alive? And I don't care if you have insurance. Do you know how a cancer can bankrupt a family? The World Trade Center Health Program, which is free, will pick up all the deductibles, all the copays. So I am constantly doing outreach. I've been to Chicago, Myrtle Beach. I've been down to Florida 6 times, speaking at different retiree organizations, just telling people, spread the word. Go for an annual full-body skin checkup. If we have time, I just want to briefly tell you, skin cancer is the most common cancer in the 9/11 community because the pH level of the toxins was the same as Drano. So it was just in the air, burning for 99 days. We're seeing so much basal cell and squamous cell cancer and melanoma that I am always asking people, go for a full-body skin checkup. A firefighter I know called me up 2 months after he heard me speaking, and he goes, hey, Mike, I just want to thank you. I went for a full body skin checkup because I had these three little red dots on my arm, and I thought they might be something. The dermatologist said, no, that's nothing, but I don't like the color of underneath the pinky of your nail. They did a little biopsy, and sure enough, it was a melanoma.
Mm.
They removed half of his pinky, but it had already spread to his lungs. So he's now getting chemotherapy today. But you know what? He has a chance to live. If he hadn't gone for the dermatology exam, he'd be like Luis Alvarez, who I sat behind when he testified with John Stewart in Congress. He was so moving. And, yeah, I'm glad you played that clip before I started to speak today. But I urge anybody who's in New York, go for a full-body skin checkup, because I know it sounds corny, but early detection can save your life. And if I can just add one other thing, if any of your listeners have any other questions, go to 911victimfund.com. There's so much information on that website about the health program, about the victim fund. And, you know, the worst thing is when people don't take advantage of the free health care and the compensation. So, yes, thank you so much for shining a light on this. I really appreciate that. I welcome you to call me anytime, Ron, because you sound passionate about this. You're a former New Yorker, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. If you have any other questions, I'm not running, but I know you're short on time.
It's okay. You know what? If you don't mind, I'd like you to join in the next part of this conversation that we have, if you have a few moments
sure.
with us, because we're going to bring in Dr. Jacqueline Moline.
I love Jackie.
And Dr. Moline, for our audience who don't know her, she's Vice President of Occupational Medicine, Epidemiology, and Prevention at Northwell Health, the Chair of Occupational Medicine, Epidemiology, and Prevention at North Shore University Hospital, and, I should take a deep breath for this, Director at Queens World Trade Center Treatment Center. Dr. Moline, thank you for being with us. You know, after reading everything that you do, I have to admit, I feel somewhat inadequate. But be that as it may, thank you for
pleasure to be on the program, and hopefully we'll be able to give some information to your listeners.
Fantastic. What's the most important information that you think the listeners should know about 9/11 and cancer and illnesses?
Well, I think the most important message we can get out is to sort of echo what I heard Michael saying, which is for those people who responded to the World Trade Center, who lived in the community, if you are a responder, go register with the program, or you are a survivor, register with the program. If you, even if you're not feeling any ill effects, go in, get a monitoring exam. If you are a responder, if you are a survivor and you have any medical conditions that might be related, and there's a long list on the website from the World Trade Center programs, go in and get evaluated to see if you have a World Trade Center-related condition, to not only get care that's covered so you don't have that will assist with things like copays, but also so that you'll be seen by folks who know what to look for. And there's preventive treatments or there's preventive screenings for various cancers that we can do following federal guidelines. So it's important for people to get in and get checked, because we know that the rates of cancer are going to go up, mostly because the time interval from when 9/11 happened to now, with every increasing year, the latency obviously goes up, and we know that there are diseases of longer latency that are going to be showing up in the future.
Dr. Moline, you testified before Congress. What did you tell them?
You know, I was able to tell them that that there have been over, I believe, 12,000 cancers certified by the program to date, and that number increases every week, that there will soon be more deaths from people who responded to the World Trade Center than those folks who died on September 11th, 2001, in the towers and in the immediate aftermath, that we know that almost there were responders from every state that are affected, and that the numbers are only going up. As Michael mentioned, that the numbers are going up are the number of cancers that we're worried about, and then we're also concerned about other diseases that might emerge. So we need to be vigilant and on the lookout to see what the true fallout from 9/11 turns out to be.
Michael, I know you only have another minute or two. I know you have some appointments that you have to get to. And then after we finish speaking with you, I'm going to bring in Kenny Specht, who's a firefighter and a Feel Good Foundation team leader, and who was also in that meeting with Senator Mitch McConnell. But, Michael, with the 2 minutes I have remaining with you, your final thoughts, please.
Well, I have to say, Jackie's not the one to tout her own horn, but she was wonderful, and she gave her testimony before Congress, gave the legislators a different take than the first responders or even Lila Nordstrom, the student who testified so eloquently, too. But without Jackie and the other World Trade Center doctors, we don't have the medical and the statistical data to support what is only the right thing to do, which is to extend this victim compensation fund. As I said before, it would be a moral outrage. It would be a breach of a promise not to do this. And I can't thank people like, Kenny, I've been to Washington with Kenny a dozen times now in the last 10 months. People like him, they're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it, they're paying it forward, and they deserve so much credit. And I'm just honored as an attorney to be playing a small part in helping the 9/11 community. So to Kenny and to Jackie, thank you both. A wonderful and healthy long weekend to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I'll speak with you soon. Happy 4th of July.
You're right. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Kenny Specht is with us. Kenny is a firefighter. He's a team leader on the Feel Good Foundation. As I mentioned before, he was in that meeting with Senator Mitch McConnell. Kenny, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys. Sorry about the late phone call. Appreciate you checking in, though.
Not at all. It's a sad day, and I'm sorry for your loss. And give us a little background. Just give us 30 seconds on you for those who don't know your story.
Real short. I was a New York City firefighter, hired by the New York City Fire Department in 1996, after almost 7 years as a police officer with the New York City Police Department. So I was into my fifth year on the morning of September 11th. I responded off duty. I got down to the Trade Center site about 1:30 in the afternoon, stayed full time until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on September 12th. And spent about 2 months in total down at the Trade Center, both in between the Trade Center and my time back in a firehouse in New York City.
What happened to you?
2006, I was rushed in for emergency surgery. I had my gallbladder removed. It was four times the size of normal. That was probably, it wasn't for me, but it probably should have been the first sign that I was going to experience some issues. 2007, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. 2009, diagnosed with lung issues, asthma, RADS, COPD. That's where I stand now. All my diagnoses, like I said, came 2006, 7, 8, and 9.
Dr. Moline, is Kenny Specht's case unusual, or is he typical?
You know, he's typical in the sense that a thyroid cancer is actually, I think, the third most common cancer that we've seen in World Trade Center exposed individuals. It isn't from the fact that we're screening in the programs for thyroid disease. That's always the question that people ask. Is it because you're looking for it? I mean, it's just showing up. And it's been common in young folks that like Kenny. And the fact that he has all these other diseases manifesting, probably some of them were simmering earlier, and he just was not paying attention to them. And then they all manifest later, or it may be through the fact that he had other treatments that made some of the symptoms come out. But, you know, we're not seeing folks in general who only have one disease. We're seeing folks, for example, during my testimony, I highlighted Ellie Engler, who had very mild asthma for many, many years. And then She developed breast cancer, and then her asthma has just gotten absolutely out of control recently. So you go from somebody who took an inhaler with them occasionally but never really even needed to use it to somebody who's on multiple medications for asthma and has had hospitalizations. And that's the kind of thing that we're seeing, which is folks have, like Kenny does, they have a history of a cancer, and then they also have reactive airways or asthma or other lung problems. So it's we're dealing with multiple diseases that are occurring in many different folks.
Kenny, when you go to Washington and you meet with the legislators, how are you feeling when you're there? I'm guessing that if I were in your position, I would just be plain old angry.
Yeah, I'm not angry anymore, to be honest with you. I'm not resigned either, but I am tired. John Phil and I started this back in 2008. I was told by the New York City Fire Department Medical Office in 2007 that my cancer was not attributable to my time at the Trade Center. Because of the work of John, myself, his team, the doctors, and ultimately the New York City Fire Department Medical, we've been able to now prove what I was told back in 2007 is indeed not the case, that yes, we are sick because of our time at the Trade Center. So John and I have taken on this battle now for 14 years, multiple trips, more trips than I can count to Washington, D.C., sometimes 2 in a week and a half. I live out on Eastern Long Island. The trip for me one way is 315 miles. So, you know, we're dealing with 630, 650 miles round trip. That's in a day. We'll usually head down the day before. We'll have our meetings as a team the night before. We'll do our meetings in Washington, D.C. all day. We're wrapping up usually about 4:30 in the afternoon. And then we're getting in our cars and we're taking that 315-mile drive back home. We're not staying the night of the meetings just before. So this is something that's become tiresome for everybody on John's team. Now, we understand that we keep our eyes on the prize, so to speak. We have work that needs to get done. We have people that need to be recognized. People in my situation shouldn't be penalized because they were diagnosed at a later date than I was. I think we can all agree that cancer doesn't have a timeline. We're not sure really when somebody's going to present. And it really is almost a situation where people are being penalized now because their latency period may have been longer and they were diagnosed later. So this is just a new story and a new fold that we're taking into Congress and trying to let them understand that as much as we appreciate the 5 years that we received on the first compensation portion of the bill, it's a five-year cap, and it really does penalize people who are diagnosed outside that 5 years.
And if I could just...
Yes, please, Dr. Moline.
I just to add to what Kenny said, you know, the latency period is this phenomenon. We're going to only see more and more cases. So having a limit of 5 years is by design going to cut off the bulk of the cases of cancer that are going to develop as a result of the World Trade Center, and something that was predicted, you know, many, many years ago that we would be seeing in the future.
Can you expand on that a little bit, Doctor, in terms of if someone goes, well, it's almost 18 years now, right? And if someone is saying, well, I feel pretty good now, they're not out of the woods, are they?
No, and you know, I treat a lot of folks who've had asbestos exposure, and we know that there was asbestos in the World Trade Center. It's been found in all the dust, but you know, the average latency period for people developing lung cancer or mesothelioma, which is a rare cancer that's virtually always caused by asbestos, is 30 to 40 years. I mean, there's people on either side of it, obviously. People as young as 6, but usually around 10. But I've seen folks 70 years after their exposure to it develop the cancers. So things like lung cancer take a while to develop.
I'm sorry, did you say 70 years after exposure?
Yes, I did. You know, people are living longer, so they're developing cancers that are associated with exposures that they have early in life. And if someone's exposed when they're very young, then their risk may be much later, which is in part why the health program lasts for 75 years, which is to cover those children who were exposed early on to hopefully give them care during the for the bulk of their life if they develop any World Trade Center related conditions.
Dr. Jacqueline Moline is director at the Queens World Trade Center Treatment Center. Kenny Specht is with us, former firefighter, police officer, also team leader for the Feel Good Foundation. Kenny, can you stay with us for about two or three more minutes? I just have to take a quick break, and then I just want to get in another question or two for you, and then I'll let you go. I know you got a busy day.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Absolutely.
Kenny. Hold on. We're going to take a short break. If you would like to comment on today's program, you could email us. We're at tfs@wshu.org. tfs@wshu.org, or find us on Twitter at FullStoryWSHU. I'm Ron Ropiak. One short break, one last one. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Full Story on WSHU. I'm Ron Ropiak. We are continuing our discussion about the effects that 9/11 had on first responders and those who worked or lived in the area right around where the attacks took place in downtown Manhattan. I just want to give Kenny Specht two or three more minutes, and then I'm going to bring in some other medical experts who can tell us a little bit more about this. Kenny, you were there that day, and I just want to refresh some memories. I mean, we've either been there, we've seen it, or some of us even grew up in that area. What was it like that day when you were there? What was the air like? What were you breathing? What was? Because we see the pictures. I mean, it's hard to fathom what it was like.
Well, I was never in the military. I joined the New York City Police Department 21 years old, 2 months into my 21st birthday. And by the time the Trade Center happened, I had 11 years on the job, both as a city cop in Harlem and almost 5 years as a firefighter. So I had a good comparative analysis of being able to look at something and realize this was something with all my experience working for the city of New York as a first responder that I've never experienced before in my life. And I say I wasn't in the military, saying that as far as I was concerned, it was an absolute war zone. It was something that I could never believe that I would see. And while I was witnessing, still couldn't believe what I was seeing. As far as the air over a period of the couple months I was down there, the air quality changed drastically for the worse. The air color, the toxic fumes, smelled different. The color of the smoke that was starting to show from the fires that burned for months and months and months changed color. And these were all things that we witnessed from the first day, progressing, obviously, longer the time we stayed there. The changes were clearly evident. You didn't have to be a doctor, an epidemiologist, a scientist, to realize that what was going on down there was a breakdown over a long period of time of building material, of human body, and it just started to take on different colors, different smells, different tastes. No 2 days were the same, and one day didn't get better than another day. It always seemed to get worse and worse and worse.
Kenny, one last question, then I'm going to let you go. What do you think? Will the government do the right thing?
Yeah, I think we're going to get this done. I really do. I don't want to make a bold statement and give people false hope, but I want to make a statement that gives people confidence in our ability to work with elected officials. We take on everybody. We maybe have our political affiliations when we all go home, and that's the American way. And that's the way it should be. Everybody should support something. But who we support and what our political affiliations are, those are things that we leave at home when we get in our cars and we go down to Washington, D.C. And we leave them at home because we have to work with both sides of the aisle. I don't go in and tell anybody whether I'm a Democrat or a Republican or a liberal. That doesn't matter. We're down there to get one thing done. We're down there to get the extension of the compensation portion so that it matches the medical portion of this bill. And that's it. And that's it. And I think that the work that we've done shows, I think the good work that we've done shows, and I think that the relationships that we've made in Washington, D.C., I think that they're legitimate. We had a meeting with Mitch McConnell that was completely different than the meeting we had back in 2015. I was in both meetings, so I have a comparative analysis. I didn't really think that the meeting back in 2015 went very well. I also didn't think that we were treated very well. Leaving the meeting 2 weeks ago, I feel completely opposite. I feel like the meeting did go well, and I feel like we were treated well. I'd hate to think that I haven't been around long enough where I can't take the temperature in Washington, D.C., so I hate to think that I'm completely off base. I don't think I am. I think that we're going to get this done. I think that Mitch McConnell's going to stick to his word fund this, and I think he's going to remember the meeting that we had with them.
Kenny Speck, team leader for the Feel Good Foundation, former firefighter. Kenny, thank you. We appreciate your time, and I hope you enjoy the 4th.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny. Dr. Jacqueline Moline is still with us, director at the Queens World Trade Center Treatment Center, and we're going to bring in two other doctors, Dr. Benjamin Luft, director of the Stony Brook World Trade Center Wellness Program, and Dr. Anna Nolan, associate professor of medicine and environmental medicine at the NYU Langone Health. Dr. Nolan, Dr. Luft, thank you for joining us.
A pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Moline, you're very patient, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Dr. Luft, if you could just give us a quick background, please. What is the Stony Brook World Trade Center Wellness Program?
Well, the Stony Brook program follows 12,000 responders to the 9/11 terrorist attack. We have about 60% of our responders are what we call professional responders. That's firemen and policemen. And the 40% of responders were non-professional, or what we call citizen responders, people who volunteered or went to go down to the site, who included building tradesmen, construction workers, iron workers, and a variety of others, including just everyday citizens who thought that they could do the right thing and respond.
Dr. Luft, on some of our recent programs, we've talked about PTSD in terms of impact on police, firefighters, EMTs, and the mental health aspects of or impacts of being exposed to traumatic events. Now, you've called that the elephant in the room in regards to 9/11.
Well, it's the elephant in the room in regard to this particular package, this compensation package, because post-traumatic stress disorders and a variety of psychiatric diseases which occurred as a direct result of being present at 9/11 are expressly excluded from any compensation. These patients who are severely affected are some of the sickest patients who have who develop a variety of other physical and social conditions, and you know, it's just it's really unthinkable as to why they should not be compensated for their volunteerism and their altruism at the time of this terrorist event.
Dr. Nolan, you've been studying and researching the impact of environmental exposure on first responders and survivors. What can you share with us?
So I've been studying this issue for about 10 years now. And my work and others obviously shows that these individuals that were exposed to the toxic dust that was down there, particulates and other toxins, have been significantly impacted in that they have lost their lung function. Many of them have become very sensitive to exposure to other irritants, and this has greatly impacted their quality of life.
When you say by exposure to other irritants, can you explain a little more, please?
So I believe early on several groups went down there and they characterized what was in the dust and the particulates that were in the air down there, and the fact that the first responders, at least, were exposed to high concentrations of these toxins, and that often the pH of the dust in solution is very high. it irritated and caused negative effects to the airways. And these are long-lasting effects that we see in these patients very often.
Dr. Moline, this goes back to what you were talking about a little bit earlier.
Yes. You know, we don't know what the toxic brew was. We know what there are 150 chemicals. We know, but we don't know what we should be looking for in some ways because there hasn't been any science on the 150 toxicants all mixed together. But we need to continue to follow folks, and we need to be there for them in their times of need.
Dr. Luft, can we talk about age a little bit? Obviously, we've all gotten a little bit older since 9/11. How do you distinguish normal age-related illnesses from what took place on 9/11?
Well, that's really an excellent question. It's an area of active research at our center. The one thing that we do have is that our average age of our patients are 55 years old, and that we've been able to follow our patients prospectively for since they were probably just a bit over 35 years old, way before what we would consider to be the effect of age. And what we can see in our patients are that they have accelerated aging in a variety of manners, especially in terms of neurologic aging. And as I said before, this occurs in a much more exacerbated manner in the patient with PTSD. These patients are developing cognitive dysfunction at a much faster rate than what would be expected. We wouldn't expect at the age of 55, it would be extremely rare to find anyone with any real cognitive abnormality. In our patients, we're finding it in the 5 to 10% range. So this is really something, again, that's not really being well appreciated. And part of it is that the it's not what the emphasis has usually been in dealing with patients who are who are exposed to trauma, whether it's in the civilian population or whether it's in the military population. It's totally underappreciated, undervalued, and under taken care of.
Dr. Nolan, are you specifically looking at 9/11 first responders, or are you also targeting those who lived or worked in that area or still continue to live or work there?
So I specifically study first responders. And in regards to aging, when we look at someone's lung function, we always compare them to age-matched predicted. So when we look at somebody and we see that they've lost lung function or have developed airway hyperreactivity, at least for lung function, it is compared to what they should be at a given age. So, so that is accounted for in our work.
Dr. Moline, Michael Barish and I were talking a little bit earlier, and I don't know if you were on the line with us yet. And I said, are there still some out there who possibly haven't gotten tested or been to their doctors or registered for programs? And he said, yeah, there are those who answered the call from around the country. And they're trying to alert them and say, look, watch out for yourselves. Is that still an issue?
Oh, it's absolutely an issue. I mean, in the programs, we have new responders and community members registering every month, and it is important. One thing I might add, I work with some amazing folks at my institution at Northwell Health, and there are a couple of gentlemen who work at the hospital who were former NYPD, and they, and when I came to Northwell in 2010 and we started the program in Queens in 2011, I said, hey, come to the program. You guys deserve to get monitored and cared for. It took me 6 years for one of them and 7 years for the other because their first comment is, I feel okay now, and I don't want to take away from the others. And unfortunately, both of them are ill now, so they need the care. But they're both working and doing great otherwise, but they both have had health issues. But my point really is that is what we see in so many folks who haven't registered for the program. there's really two sides of it. One is the folks who say, leave it for other folks. I don't need it. I'm fine. And then there's folks who aren't aware of the program. So it's incumbent upon us, and we thank you for having a show like this, where hopefully some listeners might be responders or might have been affected at the World Trade Center, and now they know to register. But we need to get this message out nationwide to anyone who might have registered. Unfortunately, we don't have a great registry of everyone who was at the World Trade Center site and helped out in those months afterwards. So it's not like we can go and contact all these folks. So we rely on the media to keep this in the news, to know that people can come in for an evaluation, and if they're sick, for treatment, regardless of whether they're a responder or survivor.
And thank you for those nice words, and it's our pleasure to do this program, and I hope it helps. Dr. Luft, before we go, I know we're running out of time. I also wanted to mention that, from what I've been told, you have I don't know the right phrase for it, an audio program? You're capturing some of the audio memories?
Well, we do have an oral history program at Stony Brook. We've interviewed 350 responders, these are video interviews that really tell in great detail what happened at 9/11 and how these patients continue to suffer the aftermath of that event. And I think it's extremely useful for people to look at that. This archive is now being housed in the Library of Congress so that people should be able to have ready access to these very powerful stories, which come directly from the responders, both their minds and their hearts.
Dr. Nolan, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you a chance for some final thoughts or suggestions.
So I think everything that's been said is great, and I'm hoping that more and more people that have been affected do come forward and make their cases known. The sooner the better, so we can have a better understanding overall of what's going on and what other conditions potentially may be associated with this exposure. Because there really hasn't been anything that has been as significant as this exposure elsewhere, and it would benefit other populations potentially also, and future folks that may be affected in a similar way, so we can fully understand what's going on and help these people as much as possible. I think that's really important.
Dr. Luft, also, we have 30 seconds left for final thoughts, please.
Well, I think, you know, the impact of 9/11 just continues to go on. I think that there are many things that many diseases and disease process that will continue to evolve, some of them really unexpected. But I think the other aspect is that 9/11 is also not only a reflection on the responders, but it's also a reflection on all of us and how we respond to them. You know, they're our heroes. They show us where to go and how to go and what the limits of what we can do. Many of us, including myself, may not have gone there, but I do think that we have to respect them and care for them. I think that this is a great opportunity to do it, and I hope that Congress does its duty and cares for our heroes.
Dr. Benjamin Luft, Dr. Anna Nolan, Dr. Moline. Doctors, thank you. I appreciate your time today. It was very nice of you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Happy holiday.
I know.
Happy holiday to you. That's it for our show today. Julie Ferdino is our engineer. Carrie Frank is the digital editor. Our associate producers, Christian Carter, Sabrina Garone, Natalie Chafari. J.D. Allen is the producer, Ann Lopez, the senior producer, and Terry Sheridan, our news director. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thanks to you for being part of The Full Story.